Thank you for your presence in our midst. Thank you, Lord of Lords. Thank you, King of Glory. Thank you for guiding us through the scriptures this morning, Lord of Glory. Thank you in the name of Jesus for the spirit of revelation, knowledge of your glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you for hearing ears upon us all. Thank you for pouring forth upon us the spirit of obedience, Lord of Glory. Thank you, Lord, for pouring upon us more and more the spirit of the fear of God. Thank you in the name of Jesus that we are hearers and doers of your word. Thank you, Lord, that as we draw near to you, Lord, thank you for drawing near unto us. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless you for grace to rightly divide your word. I'm but a child. Thank you in the name of Jesus as you speak through me. Lord, we bless you that I too will hear your word even as you are speaking through me, Lord of Glory. Thank you in the name of Jesus for touching our lives. None of us will live here the same way as we have come. Lord, we give all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And everyone says amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Please let's open once more to Ezekiel chapter 14. Remember, we were on it. We give God all the glory. Ezekiel chapter 14. Remember this month's prayer focus. Part of what we have there is the repentance and making sure we get our hearts back to God so that we can have Him restoring back to us His loving kindness. And we give God all the glory that our God is faithful. He says, even before we call, He will what? He will answer us. And we bless Him. And on Friday, we looked at some bits, some verses of Ezekiel chapter 14. Let's just highlight some of the things we looked at on Friday before we move on. In the mighty name of Jesus, let's zero down to verse 5 and 6. It says there that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. And you know, we looked at verse 4, which tells us that it's not only graven images. Sin, when we are set in sinful ways, even though we say we belong to Him, but we are doing our own thing, we have set sin, the idol, the iniquity in our hearts. We have set our own ways. We have made ourselves gods unto ourselves. And so He wants us to return back to Him, to the doing of truth, to obeying Him, to put away wickedness. And we have to know that in sin, sinful ways and, you know, sinful things is actually speaking that we don't want God and His blessing. We have to truly understand that we cannot be set in our own ways and refuse to go the way of God and think we'll be blessed of God. No. Yes, we are in His kingdom, but He says to His children, if you are willing and obedient, you will what? Eat the good of the land. Yes, we are in His kingdom, but the blessing, if we want the manifestation of the blessing of God in our lives, it is now your choice and my choice to make whether we want to know truth and do truth, or we don't want to know truth and just live our own ways and don't expect the blessing of God. Don't expect Him to bless you if you are not obeying Him. The scripture is quite clear. Don't expect His help if you are not obeying Him. And so again, we see sin is an idol, and it is an idol in the heart. And we cannot say we are waiting on God or praying and fasting, coming to church, if we are not, and expect Him to answer us if we are not obeying Him. We have to know these basic things. And it's all what He is saying to you and I. To obey God is very important, and we have no excuse. We cannot say, because we're going through the troubles and the afflictions of life, then we excuse ourselves and refuse to obey truth. That is quite clear in scriptures, that people who went through things, even much more than we are going through right now, they still held on to the obedience of God. And we see the example of Job. And if we're doubting, we also see the example of Joseph, even in slavery, even in the midst of hardship. He has lost his freedom, but God was still with him because he continued to obey God. And he received the help of God, that in the midst of slavery, he became next to Pharaoh in a foreign land. And we have to see all these things in the Bible because he obeyed God. Please write Genesis chapter 39. You will see how God helped him even in the midst of troubles of life. Everything Joseph set his hands to do, if you read from verse 1 to 12, everything Joseph set his hands to do was blessed. God was blessing his master because of him. And yet, this was a man in slavery because he was obeying God. Because he was obeying God. And we see the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even in the midst of slavery, even under threat, they held on to the obedience of God, and they were helped. Please also write Daniel chapter 3 from verse 16 to 18. You will see it there, how God helped them. But they held fast. They held fast to the obedience of God. They held fast to the obedience of God. Please, let's turn to Ecclesiastes. We have to truly understand that all these things are there in Scripture. Whether we are going through trials of life or we are not going through trials of life, we have to obey God. And so we have to keep studying the Word of God, even if it's one verse a day, to know what is in there. For how will you obey if you don't know the Word that you are supposed to obey? And that's why it is very important for you and I, even right from childhood, every one of us, we should be studying the Word of God to know what God wants. For it's quite clear that whether young, old, or elderly, whether we're in trouble or out of trouble, the whole duty is for us to obey Him. And so it is very important for us to make sure that we're studying the Bible, even if it's one verse, so that we can receive help. If we're struggling with things, if we are not enjoying the grace of God in our lives, the help of God in our lives, it is because of us. We have not obeyed His word. And when we are not obeying the word of God, our hearts are far from Him. I tell you, obedience is of the heart. You have to have that desire in your heart to obey God. And so it is very important, whether there's trouble or peace, we have to put it in front of our eyes, that we are to obey Him, we are to know the word of Him and do. Please let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's first look at verse 1. Please let's go. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw near, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. What is the Lord saying? When there is no evil day, when there is no trouble, no afflictions of life, no troubles of life, remember your God. Remember your God, to obey Him, to know Him. It is not when troubles of life comes, when afflictions come, then you will start to try to know Him, or you remember that there is a God. No, it won't work. So we see it clearly. While the evil days come not, when you are not in trouble, when you are at ease, remember your God. In fact, it is then you should seek Him more and more. You come to church, you study the Bible to know Him and make sure you obey Him. Please let's drop down to verse 13. Let's look at it together, please. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Let's stop there. See that? Fear God and keep His commandments. Whether you are in trouble or you are not in trouble, whether there is affliction or no affliction, the whole duty of man is to obey God. The whole duty of man is to obey God. Verse 14 says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so again, it's quite clear. No matter what we do, God will examine it. And so again, you see a key. When there is no trouble, seek God, and the evidence or the manifestation of a heart seeking God, when there is no trouble, is obedience. When there is trouble, there is afflictions, troubles of life, seek God. The manifestation of a heart seeking God in the midst of trouble is obedience. We've seen this in the lives of Job, Joseph, and also the three Hebrew children who were thrown in the flame, and the flame did not touch them because of their faithfulness, their obedience to God. And I tell you, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God who did it for them is still alive, is not dead, and is still in the business of helping His own. And so again, we see a key. It is very important. Sin is a barrier. Excuse me. And I tell you, the reason why there is a depth of the knowledge of truth amongst us Christians, in quote, is because our hearts are far from God. And so we cannot know truth. A heart that is willing to know and do truth will have truth, will know, will have the knowledge of truth. And we looked at this in Isaiah chapter 29 verses 10 to 15. It was the same thing. They had no truth because their hearts were far from him. They were doing their own thing. And so again, we see the scripture is quite clear. Please let's look at Job chapter 13 verses 15 to 16. Job 13. At least we all can relate with Job. Many of us, we know the story of Job and we know how he was helped. But let us see again and again. Job chapter 13 verses 15 and 16. Please let's go. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before him. Underline that. When we are not obeying God, and yet we come to church and we raise up holy hands, is what? Hypocrisy. So you can see, a hypocrite shall not come before him. Yes, we are here, but the Spirit, God is Spirit. He will have nothing to do with a hypocritical heart. Yes, we may be here, all of us, but look, God is Spirit, and he deals with the heart first and foremost. He deals with the spirit man first and foremost. He will look upon the heart first and foremost. And we all know the story of how David was anointed as king, himself and his seven brothers. God knew their heart. He saw their ways. So they gathered, as we are gathered too, as a congregation. Each one of them went before God. They walked before God. He rejected them till David. Because he sees the heart. He knows what is in the heart. He knows a heart that willingly obey him. He knows a heart that is hypocritical. He knows a heart that is sincere. He knows an honest heart. He knows a sincere heart. He knows a heart of integrity. And he knows the heart that is also hypocritical. And so again, we see, he also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before him. Even in the midst of the hardship of life, Job was emphasizing this divine quality of God. He says, I will maintain my own ways before him. In other words, I will make sure I obey him, for I know a hypocrite cannot come before him. He knew that, and we all know. He said, no matter what will happen, even if he slays me, I will still trust him. I will still obey him. And we have to know that this is what God wants. We cannot use the troubles of life as excuses for sin. We have to truly understand all these things. For when we are making sure that our ways are clean, then will we receive help from him. Then will we receive help from him. Please let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 14. And we have to truly understand that as children of God, he has to train you and I. When there's no trouble of life, he's training us. Even in the midst of the troubles of life, he's still training us. The troubles of life will not make us not to be sons of God. In the midst of the troubles of life, we are still sons of God. We have to remember that. We are still his own. We belong to him. Even in the midst of the troubles of life, he is still doing his work. He is still training you and I, his children. He's still with us. We have to truly understand those troubles will be over because our God will take us through, bring those troubles to an end, and replace them with His will if we only obey Him. If we only look to Him. If we only obey Him. And so again, please let's read Ezekiel chapter 11. That the house of Israel may go no more astray from me. Please underline that. Where the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, another name for Israel is righteousness. So that we don't go astray. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. He gave us His word. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us through the scriptures. And so we, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, He says here, that we may go no more astray from Him, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions. In other words, we are not dogs who return back to doggy vomit. I will put it in that way. And so you see a key that we no more allow what we've been delivered from, the sins of life we've been delivered from them, don't let us become polluted with sin again. But that they may be my people and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. See a key. Without sin, don't return back to sin, so that we may be His people and He will be our God. We have to truly understand all these things. We have to also realize that in the midst of a perverse world, God had chosen us. He's using everything we are going through to train us, to refine us. Please, let's open to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. Let's look at verse 10. And please, let's read it together. Okay, let's go. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Please, let's go again. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. See, a key is in the midst of the troubles of life. Refinement comes. He refines us with His holy fire. In other words, in the midst of the troubles of life, He will still help us to obey. All we have to do is keep looking to Him, keep asking Him for help. Once we have determined in our hearts to obey Him, He will supply help. And so in the midst of the troubles of life, if you have been looking at Him before the troubles of life came, then in the midst of the troubles of life, all you have to do is continue to do what you are doing. Looking unto Him, studying the Bible, still purpose it in your heart to obey Him. Because the afflictions of life will work together for your good. Remember the scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. All things work together for good to them that love God and that are called according to His purpose. Those who love God, they are those who are obeying Him. In the midst of affliction, if you are still obeying Him by His grace, you still have it in your mind that no matter what, you will obey Him like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I tell you, all things will work together for your good. Those afflictions will work together for your good. You have to understand that. I tell you, if you read what happened after they were thrown into that flame, the king saw a man, the Son of God. He threw in three, but he saw four. And what happened? He made a decree that everyone, none shall talk against the God of these three Hebrew children. And he promoted them. All these things go because they purpose to obey no matter the instruction. The instruction given was against the word of God. They chose to obey the word of God even when the fire was before their faces. Yes, it is not of them. It is by grace. It is by grace. If you look at their story right from chapter 1, you will see the purpose to obey God. That is what the Lord is talking about. If you are not obeying God in the midst of affliction, you just can't suddenly obey God. It does not work like that. If you look at the story of Job, right from chapter 1, verse 1, his testimony was a man who feared God, who eschewed what? Evil. Who was obeying God. If in the day that there's no trouble, you are not obeying God, you are not living a life to please God, then how will you expect that in the day of trouble, you will obey Him? It doesn't work like that. And so again, we see that He says He have chosen us in the furnace of affliction. In fact, all the troubles of life, they are designed to try our faith if we will still continue to obey Him in the midst of affliction. If we will still stick to our choices that yes, we will always obey God. We have to know these things. And so again, troubles of life is not an excuse to disobey the word of God. I tell you, if in the troubles of life you are not obeying Him, when you had no trouble, you were not obeying Him. Simple. Simple. Please, let's open to Hebrews chapter 5. You will see the same thing there pertaining to our Lord Jesus. Everything He went through taught Him. It was a refining process. If we allow the Lord to walk through the troubles of life, refining us. Hebrews chapter 5, let's read verses 8 to 9. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. See that? He too went through the afflictions of life. He went through the troubles of life. But look at, He obeyed. He obeyed because He had made a choice to always obey God. And I tell you, once we turn our hearts, we return our hearts back to Him, fixing our heart on Him, that yes, no matter what, we will obey. He will supply grace. He will supply grace. He will supply grace. I tell you, it is the grace of God upon those three Jews that when they saw the burning furnace that the king had prepared, they still stuck to their confession. That's grace for you. The arm of flesh can never do such a thing. Remember, the arm of flesh has failed. The flesh has failed. The flesh profited nothing. And so for them to see that and still stick to their confession of faith, you will know that it is the grace. The grace. The grace. Because they said, even if our God does not help us, we will still not serve another God. We will still not bow down to the image. And that is what the Lord expects you and I. Even if He does not help you and I in the midst of affliction, we will still serve Him. We will still obey Him. We will still serve Him. We will still obey Him. Even if He does not pour the riches of the earth into our pockets, we will still serve Him. We will still obey Him. We will still serve Him. We will still what? Obey Him. And verse 9 says, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. See that He will save from the troubles of life all those that obey Him. It is quite clear. Please, let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 14. And so again, we see a key. Those who are His and they, He, their God, He says they must not be polluted anymore with the transgressions that they've been delivered from. We've seen it. It is quite clear. And so, again, there is a key. Please, let's open to Psalm 66. Let's look at it. The Word of God is the same right from Genesis to Revelation. There's no excuse. Please, let's take it from verse 8. O bless our God, you people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Please underline that. See? The afflictions of life will always try us and refine us. But He is with us and He will bring us out into a wealthy place. In other words, He will deliver us. He will put all the afflictions to naught. It will be well with us. All these things we have to understand. And so all these fears and, you know, hassle over troubles of life. Oh yes, I have problems. I have this, I have that. No. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we have to understand these basic things. All the people of faith went through troubles. Father of faith, Abraham, went through troubles of life too. And Job went through troubles. Even Daniel, everyone went through troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivers him from them all. So trouble is not an excuse to disobey God. Afflictions of life is not an excuse to do whatever we want. And so again, let us understand some things. Please, let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 14. Let's take it from verse 13. We have to understand some few things. Why we are all, you know, like, oh, it's not working. No. The Word of God works. It is we who have not lined up ourselves to receive the blessings. It is we who are set in our ways. And we think when we are doing things our own way, that God will bless us. No. He is God. He changeth not. And so our sins have made us to be far from Him. And then, because we are far from Him, we cannot know truth. Yes, we may be studying the Bible, quoting it, but once you are not ready to obey Him, forget it. You won't have the knowledge, the understanding of truth. You won't know Him because you have made up your mind not to obey God. You may be coming before Him with your body, but the heart is far from Him. The God we serve, we have to understand His nature. And so see a key. Verse 13 says, Son of man, when the land sinned against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. See a key. Whatever we do will affect every area of our lives. And I tell you, if in a nation, yes, we are all professing to be Christians, but we are doing things our own way. Look at it. As a man soweth, so shall he also reap. Look at verse 14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their own righteousness, saith the Lord God. Look at a great key. Even if Job, Daniel, and Noah, even if they are dwelling in our midst, the Lord God says they can only deliver themselves alone by their own righteousness, which is of God. In other words, we may be a whole congregation of millions. It is the work of our hands. The righteousness. It is the heart that is set to obey God, that God will deliver. You have to understand these things. Please let's open to chapter 18 of that same Ezekiel. And let's see from verse 20. It is the same thing. Ezekiel 18 from verse 20. Please let's go. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely die, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Look at verse 24. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committed iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he had trespassed, and in his sin that he had sinned, in them shall he die. See a key again. So now we have to truly understand that individually we have to search our hearts and make sure we return our hearts back to God. Yes, we are born again. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We thank God that we have received God's righteousness in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 24 again. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committed iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he had done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. See a key, and I tell you, if you continue to read it down, he is explaining to you and I. And so again, we are in God's kingdom, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But we cannot return back to living sinful lifestyle. No. And I tell you, every one of us, every household, we have to return our hearts back to God. How do we do that? Make a choice to obey Him. Repent for sinful ways and return back. Return back. Return back to the obedience of the word of God. Purpose it in your heart that in every area of your life, you want to obey Him. I want to obey Him. Even in the midst of affliction, I want to obey Him. In the midst of the troubles of life, I want to obey Him. I can't say, because I have financial problems, then I will not pay tithe. That's part of the little things we're doing to deprive ourselves. And of course, we see all those things. We have to return our hearts. Sin is a barrier. It puts the distance between God and us. Yes, we may be coming to church every day, praying to Him and everything. But I tell you, God knows those who are His. The foundation of the Lord stands sure. Let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. We all know God does not hear the prayer of a sinner. And so it is your duty and my duty as children of God, where the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, to live righteous lives, even in the privacy of our homes. We have to do that, even in our hearts, in our intentions, in whatever we do, in how we speak, everything. And I tell you, you will understand now why there are problems in churches all over the place. Because we are not ready to obey the word of God. In the word of God, we will see how we are to relate with one another. How we are to do things with one another. But when we are not looking into the word of life to know how we are to behave, how we are to comport ourselves, how we are to talk, we don't know the right attitude to be. We're not looking into the word of God. Then it is very easy to say we're offending one another. It is very easy to turn to, fighting, division, and so on, because we're not looking into the word of life. The word of God is there. It will teach us how to comport ourselves, how to relate with one another, how to be at peace with all men. The word of God is there to teach us how to look unto Jesus, the the author and the finisher of our faith. The Word of God is there to teach us how to correct one another in love, how to encourage one another to good works according as it is written. What not to do and what to do is all there. Look at the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was taken before Pontius Pilate and the Jewish leaders. They railed against him. They slapped him. They did all sorts of things to him. But the scripture says he replied not. And the scripture says don't reply railing for railing. Of course, the way to behave, the way the godly lifestyle, how to do, when we are doing that is part of obedience. In little things, we have to return, we have to look at these things. How and what not to do. Boundaries between one another is all set there in the Word of God. How to run a home, husband and wife, how to do is all there in the Word of God. But of course, if we are not ready to obey the Word of God, even in relationships with one another, we will flout the divine rule. Even in relationship between husband and wife, we will flout it. Whereas there is guidance, the Word of God. Even on the marriage bed, there is the divine word and rule and guidance. Even in the raising of children, it is there. But when we are not ready to obey the Word of God, we give all sorts of worldly satanic arguments. Because we have set the heart not to obey God. Because our hearts are far from God. And then we want to know truth. It doesn't work like that at all. And so again, you see Job, he said, even if he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I will still watch my ways before him. And you see the three Jewish lads. He said, even if our God does not deliver us, we will still not bow down. We will still be worshiping him. And so your testimony and my testimony should be, no matter what comes against me in this life, I will always obey God. I will worship God. Please let's return back to Daniel chapter 14. And again, verse 14 says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their own righteousness, saith the Lord God. Verse 15 says, if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be what? Desolate. In other words, the works of our hands is very important. I tell you, majority of all the nations in troubles today, there are lots of Christians. We profess Christianity. And yet, strange things are happening in our lands. And so, individually, every child, every adult, sons, daughters, relatives, every household, we have to make sure individually we return our hearts back to God. Purpose to obey Him. Let us, all those things, all those behaviors, all those attitudes that we thought they are normal, let us repent and turn back to the Word of God and see how the Lord wants us to comport ourselves, what He wants us to do, how He wants us to relate with one another, even to relate with the world. It is all there in the Bible. How He wants us to live daily is all in the Word of God. And so we have to return back to knowing these things and obeying Him. Amen. Verse 17 says, "Or if I bring a sword upon the land and say, 'Sword, go through the land,' so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves," pointing to us that our own obedience will deliver us alone. We have to truly understand. And so, each one of us, we have to make sure we return our hearts back. God knows every heart. God knows those who are His. God will deal in line according to the works of our hands. And we can't hide from Him. And so, you see, sin brings what? Hardship to a nation. Hardship to a land. Sin brings hardship even to individuals. Yes, you may be a Christian, but if you are not obeying God, it is quite clear. It is quite clear. Please let's read verse 19. "Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah and Daniel and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their own righteousness." Look at, they can't even deliver their own son and daughter, saith the Lord. In other words, the sons and daughters too must obey God. They must work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Every one of us. And so, you see why you have things happening in lands all over the place. It is as a result of sin. Strange things, strange days, because iniquity is on the increase. And so we have to understand that we cannot afford to be like the world. We cannot do our own thing. We have to study the Word of God to know what He wants and have the heart to do. Have a heart to do. Let's look at verse 21. "For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, and the noisome beast, and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast." See a key. All these things, famine, pestilence, death all over the place, is as a result of sin. "As a man soweth, so shall he also reap." And I tell you, if we don't want to be numbered amongst the wicked, we have to look to our ways. Every child, every adult, every one of us, let him that have ears hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. verse 22, yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and you shall see their way and their doings. You see? In other words, those ones will do things right. And you shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and you shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. And so again, we have to truly understand these things. The Lord is willing to help his own. Please let's open to Psalm 103. We read it this morning. We have to understand some things. When we came to Christ, not only did he deliver you and I from death, he gave us a new spirit, and he put his spirit in us, Christ in us, our hope of glory. And he also put himself upon us, his loving kindness. He crowned us with his loving kindness and tender mercies, his glory, the blessing. He empowered us to prosper. Please let's read Psalm 103. Let's drop down to verse 4. Who redeemed thy life from destruction? Who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? See, that's God's plans for us. Not only do we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, he's upon us and he's with us. So he crowned us with help. He crowned us with his glory. He said he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, he will never fail us. So we are destined to prosper. We are destined to live good lives, for he has crowned us with his goodness. He has blessed us. But sin is a barrier. Sin is a barrier. The same way the glory of God departed from the house, the same way when we sin, the glory departs. Of course, he will return. If you see the pattern in the garden, when Adam and Eve, they disobeyed, the glory left. And if you see what happened when Israel was defeated, the ark was captured, the glory had departed. And it's the same thing too. Let us return our hearts back to him. And let us fix our heart permanently on him. A heart fixed permanently on him is a heart that is saying, I will obey you no matter what. I will obey God. Please let's open to Psalm 23. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. So a table of blessing is always set before his own. Blessing. He has blessings for all of us. He has plans. And he's always set before his own. We are the ones delaying the plans of God for our lives. For in disobedience, he won't do anything. And I tell you, if we want him to help us in these last days, as things are going haywire all over the place, we have to return our hearts back to him. To the faithful, God is faithful. How are we faithful to him? obeying the word of God, knowing what is in the word and obeying, making sure we pattern our lives according to the word of God. Psalm 23, please let's read from verse 5 to 6. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Jesus' name, amen. See, thou anointest my head with oil. That's it. The loving kindness and the tender mercies of God, they're upon us. We have him on the inside of us. We have him on top of us. We have him with us. And I tell you, all of our days on the face of the earth, do we have his loving kindness and tender mercies? In every troubles of life, he's there to help us. Look at verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not some, all the days of my life. His presence on me to make sure he helps me, he prospers me, that it be well with me on the face of the earth. That is the plan of God for his sons. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. In the times of trial, he is there to help us. He's there to do things for us. Please, let's open to Psalm 57. We looked at it before. Let's zero down to verse 2. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. So we see a key there. God performs all things for us. And that's why he gave us his glory. He anointed our head with oil. That's why he's in us and upon us and with us. God is to help us all of our days on the face of the earth. Please let's look at verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. In other words, the heart is fixed that no matter what, I will obey God. I will worship God. The same way Job said it. The same way Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We have to purpose it in our hearts that no matter what, we will obey God. We want to obey God all of our days on the face of the earth so that the help already supplied can be made manifest in our lives. We are the ones shortchanging ourselves. And then we are running from pillar to post for help. Whereas the power is within us. The power is upon us. And the power is with us. His name is Jesus, the Son of the Living God. So how can we fix our heart on God if we are not obeying him in little things? Big things. If you are not obeying him in little things, you don't expect to obey him in big things. If you are not obeying him when there is no trouble of life, in the midst of affliction, it is great disobedience you will do. And that is why when there is troubles of life, people go running looking for the arm of flesh, which is against the word of God. When there is troubles of life, people stay away from church, from the presence of God, who is their help, because when there was no trouble, they were not obeying God. As a man soweth, so shall he reap. And so you see why you hear things that are happening, strange things that are happening to the wicked in the world is also happening to those in the church. Why? because they are of the same works. God will not say, because you are born again, and then he won't deal with you according to his word. As a man soweth, so shall he also reap. If a whole nation or land goes to church and they are not obeying God, and you also have another land who are not even going to church, they are wicked. It is the same thing. We have to fix our heart on him. We have to individually return our hearts to the obedience of him. Repent and start studying and make up your mind. No matter what, I will obey God. Every household is not just for father or mother to repent in a household. We've read it. The righteousness of father will not save the child. The child too has to work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. Everyone in a household, you all must individually make the choice to obey God. We all must repent of the little ways. Things we think, oh no, it really doesn't matter. And we make excuses and we argue, they do matter. They do matter. And so again, you see, the psalmist who said, I will cry unto God, Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me in the midst of affliction, he also said, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. His heart is fixed on God. No barrier, no gap, no distance between his heart and that of God. Just as he's honoring God with his lips or mouth, his heart too is what? Honoring God by obedience. Disobedience is the gap. If you are living a lifestyle of disobedience, your heart is not fixed on God. You are far from God. It's quite clear. And so again, we see why the prayer focus for this month is patterned like that, that we individually should cry out to God from our hearts in repentance of sins. All have sinned. So all of us from top to bottom, only Christ is without sin. And we are his body. So the head is perfect. He has never sinned and he will not sin. It is we, his body, that we are crying out for his mercy to help us, to cleanse us anew, as he has said. Please let's open to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And so we thank God. Let's turn our hearts to him. We all know all those little things we do wrong and the big things we do wrong. Let's ask him to forgive us and to pour into our hearts the spirit of obedience and the spirit of the fear of God, anew, a willingness to obey him in little things, big things. How we relate with one another in his church, even at home, even how husbands and wives will relate, even on the marriage bed, the guidance is all there. Lord of glory, we return our hearts to you, Lord. Everyone under the sound of my voice, everyone in this church, and all we your own on the face of the earth, in all the nations. Lord, you said it in your word that the foundations of the Lord stand sure. God knows those who are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity, depart from sin. Lord, we are made a choice that you are our God, and we want to be named, and we are already named in Christ Jesus. Lord of glory, we have chosen to depart from all our sins, Lord. Forgive us in the name of Jesus. Sins knowingly and unknowingly, Lord, forgive us. Even in attitudes, in words, and in thoughts, in things we see, where we go, even in intents, in what we set our hands to do, in our homes, in every life in our homes, in every life, Lord of glory, in this church, male and female, adult and children, Lord, forgive us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that choice that we have made to obey you, Lord. Thank you for pouring forth upon us all your spirit, your grace anew. For you said it, Lord, that these are the days of your power, and that in the days of your power, your people shall be made willing, willing to obey you. Lord of glory, pour forth your spirit upon us. Thank you for making us willing to obey you, Lord. We are your sons in the name of Jesus. Have mercy upon us. Thank you for a fresh cleansing with the blood of Jesus. Thank you for returning our hearts back to you. Lord, we give all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord of glory. Lord, we bless you. Please, let's open to Psalm 37. We thank God for his restored blessing. His restored loving kindness and tender mercies. And we see this pattern in the lives of the Jews. Anytime the glory departs, they go into exile, into slavery. And when they repent, immediately the Lord starts to get them back. And he moves all the nations round about them, kings and everything, to get his people back to the promised land. And I tell you, it's the same thing. God is faithful. All those things that we have, you know, suffered because of our own sins, I tell you, the Lord restores. That is why he says in his word, he will restore to us the years the locust had eaten, the palmer worm, the canker worm, and the caterpillar. I tell you, remember the same glory that departed from the house of God also returned immediately when the people turned back to him. And so we serve an awesome God. And so please, let's read Psalm 36. Let's take it from verse 7 to 10. And we receive it and we thank him. Amen. Please, let's go. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. In the mighty name of Jesus, let's receive it. We have made the choice to be upright. We have repented. He has received us. He's a God who is merciful. He says, a contrite and repentant heart he will not despise. And I tell you, he's faithful to his word. Lord of glory, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your loving kindness and tender mercies upon us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord of glory, that we have put our trust under the shadow of thy wings. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness and tender mercies upon us all. Every one of us in this church, every member of every household, thank you, Lord of glory, for your tender mercies and your loving kindness. You have crowned us with your tender mercies and your loving kindness, and we are grateful. Lord, we bless you that we are abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house in the name of Jesus. And we drink individually and collectively of the river of thy pleasures in the name of Jesus. For Lord, with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light we see light. Thank you for the light of your glory upon us, your glory upon every child, every adult, every male, every female, in every household, in this church, and in your body all over the earth in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for we have returned unto you, and we thank you for you have continued your loving kindness unto us. For we know thee, for we obey you, and we thank you for your righteousness unto us who are upright in heart. For Lord, it is by your righteousness that we walk in that uprightness of heart. Without your righteousness, we are nothing. Without you, we cannot know you. We cannot obey you. And so, Lord, we give you all the glory, and we say thank you for your tender mercies and your loving kindness upon us, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell yourself, God loves me, and he will take care of me all of my days on the face of the earth. I will not lack any good thing. In every trouble of life, I have victory in the name of Jesus. For my God performs all things for me, and my heart is fixed on him. For I obey him by his grace in every area of life. In Jesus' name, amen.